What I'd like to start with, Olive, is really beginning to trace your family background in history, beginning with what you recall about your grandparents, either what you knew of them or stories that you heard in terms of where they were from, that sort of thing.
My grandparents came from Sauk Center, and they came to this part of Minnesota that was being, that you get the land free.
Oh, homesteaded?
Homesteaded. Mm-hmm. So they homesteaded this 60 acres, and they had, my mother was about 4 years old when she came through with them, and it was quite a trip at that time.
And where was it they came from?
Sauk Center, which is one part of Minnesota, to another part. Mm-hmm.
They were both born in that area?
Their parents?
Uh-huh. The grandparents? Your grandparents?
That I don't know mm-hmm. for sure, where they were born.
But in the United States?
Yes.
Oh.
They dated back to the Mayflower First people,
mm-hmm.
the Wilsons family. So then, as my mother was little, they had a big fire go through there, and they had to go into a smokehouse, or put the chickens in a smokehouse, and to keep them from burning. And they took blankets and went down to the creek and soaked them and pulled them over their heads so that they couldn't burn, you know, they couldn't get away from the fire, but they... So they went through that, and they built their home. I think it was a log cabin first, and they built after that. They, I can remember visiting Grandma, and she had a well where you let the pail down and get the water, and that was something I loved to do. I also would go out with her at milking time, and she would squirt the milk into my mouth.
Directly from the udder, you mean?
Yeah. And she had a goat that would climb and walk the fence, and I can remember that.
How long, the farm you say was 60 acres?
Yes.
And what were they farming?
Some grain, some hay for the cow. They just did a small bit, you mm-hmm. know, and their own garden, had a good sized garden. And it was really pretty because it was hilly, and I used to go and pick strawberries on the hill there. And wild strawberries, mm-hmm. they're delicious. Then we used to go fishing, and I went to, we'd pick up, there were suckers or whitefish, and we'd pick them up with our hands and throw them out. And then another time, I'd go fishing with my grandma. We walked about a mile and a half to this lake, and it was what they called the bottomless lake. But we had an old boat that had a hole in it, and one of us would fish, and the other one would dip water out.
Now, they came to that area when your mother was for them, you mm-hmm. said? So about what year would that have been?
Let's see, how long ago would that be? See, she's about 24 years older than I, which would bring it right around...
The 1890s.
100 years ago, like, almost. Uh-huh. See, I'm 72, going on 73. Be about 98 years
yeah.
ago.
So in the 1890s then. Yeah. Had they been farmers before they went to this homestead area, do you know?
I really don't know. I don't believe they had. I don't know.
And how about your grandparents on your father's side? Where were they from?
They were from, the grandparents were from Norway. My father's oldest brother was born in Norway, and my father was born here. And and my grandfather had a little store, and he also had a farm I can't remember the name of that town, no. But it was rich soil. It's in Minnesota. They had apples, I remember. We used to get apples. I never went to Grandpa's Childregard. I was... it was a long trip, and I never got to go, and I never saw him.
Oh,
my grandpa Childregard, as I remember. Now I could have seen him before I remembered.
And how about your grandmother, his wife?
I didn't remember her either, but she would have seen me, and it was when I was a baby, more or less. And she was crippled with rheumatism. Or arthritis. She couldn't walk. But my granddad had his store until he was about 80 years old, a little older than that. Then he had to retire. He became ill. My aunt stayed with him and took care of him. She died, actually. She was shot.
Shot?
Yeah, she was murdered.
Do you know the story about that?
Well, all I know is it was in canning time. She was canning tomatoes, and she'd gone out. She'd gone out to get some water or something, and somebody shot her. A sniper or something. They didn't. It didn't go to court or anything. I don't think they just figured they didn't know who it was, and that wouldn't bring her back if they did. So that's the way that went.
Now, so in other words, both of your grandparents on both sides were farmers in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And both of your parents were born in Minnesota then.
Yeah. Now my dad had a store until I was about 8 years old.
Tell me a little bit more about your father's background, both your mother and father, in terms of their own schooling and how many other children in the family.
My father, I think there was six in his family, he went to school and he taught in college. He was a college teacher.
Oh, where did he go to school?
I'm trying to think of the name of that city, but I can't think of it. I can find out from my older sister. She would remember because she went there. Mm-hmm.
So he went to college himself?
Yeah, and he taught.
What did he teach?
And that I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Probably, he probably taught in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
College, and he was he went to Sunday school. He was religious. They all were, as far as that goes.
Were they Lutherans?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what more.
And how about your mother's background?
She went to school. She was a bright student. She went through the eighth grade. She took a course above that for teaching, she taught school, grade school, they met. My dad already had the store. Already had the store, I believe. And they met and got married.
What sort of store was it?
A mercantile.
Mm-hmm.
So all needs.
What's a general store?
Yeah, the general store. Because, see, that was logging country. And the loggers would come in and need their boots and their this and that and all their things they need for their work.
Do you have any idea why he gave up teaching and went into?
Well, it makes you got to make money, you know. Your farming and your business life brings more money than teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it also would be too boring to stay in mm-hmm. that particular line.
Now, when your mother was teaching, was this in a city or was it a country school?
Rural school.
Rural school.
Mm-hmm.
How long did she teach before they were married? Do you have any idea?
Not long. She got married when she was 17.
Uh-huh. Do you know how they met?
They never said that. To me, I don't think. I don't mm-hmm. remember ever hearing. In the country, that way you met at church or you met, you know, just like that. They didn't live very far apart.
Oh.
5 miles, something uh-huh. like that.
And do you know, was your mother's family also religious?
Yes, everybody went to churches mm-hmm. and, I mean, that was their social life, you know. And they attend regularly, mm-hmm. if the church was regular. That was spasmodic as a rule, you know. You get a little country preacher, and he'd come in for a while, and then he couldn't make it. He couldn't mm-hmm. make enough money, so he'd leave, and then they'd try to get something else. That's the way it was.
So when they married, she was 17, and how old was your father?
I believe he was 24.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what sort of notions they had in terms of their own future, what they wanted to do when they got married?
Well, he was already established. He had the store, and he was running the railroad and the lumber yard and everything in town.
Oh.
He bought the potatoes and shipped them. He did the shipping. And when they shipped cattle, he took care of that. And he became president of the bank, and he was there until 1916 when he went on the farm.
Oh, and now, and your mother was, what was the name of the town, did you say?
Cushing, Minnesota.
Cushing. Uh-huh. And that's in the northern part of the state then?
That's north of Minneapolis, about 100 miles.
Oh, how large a town was it at that time, do you know?
One store in the... A few families, you know. It's the outlying district that supported the stores, the lumber camps, and the farmers, and
mm-hmm.
everybody within 10 miles around.
Now, and when so they married in about 1910 or so, would you say?
I was born in 1908, and. My sister was born in 1906, another brother in 1907, and she had been married a year and a half. So,
about 1905,
when the first child arrived, he was born, Ada was born in 1906, they were probably... married in 1904,
mm-hmm.
I think,
now,
in June,
mm-hmm.
and she was born a year and a half later on Christmas Day.
Oh, and what did your mother do before the first child was born?
She worked in the store.
She did?
Mm-hmm, and she worked in the store as long as we lived in the city.
Uh-huh.
Then we went on the farm, and she worked on the farm.
So you were the third child then?
Yes.
And were there any others after you?
Yes, there was a boy directly after me a year later, and he, at 6 months, he died. However, he was, I was the baby when they had the fire, or was he? I think I was the baby when they had the fire, or else he'd been born, and mm-hmm. he was just approximately 5 months old. And they burned the store and the house burned down. and we all got out alive. That was about it.
Do you recall that?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, maybe it was a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one thing. I remember being tossed out into the snow and told to stay there and shut up. That much I can remember. And I landed in the snow, and I didn't like it. I was crying.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea in terms of how it started or what happened actually with that? Were there family stories about that?
I think it was an explosion from the kerosene stove.
Mm-hmm.
It was something they used to heat with. And you had to heat nights and days in the cold winter, and this was in January. And you had to heat in order to keep things from freezing up, the pipes and things. So.
Now, was the your living quarters right?
Next door. Now, at that time, as I understand, they were upstairs over the store. And, but I don't remember it. Then we moved into something else and maybe built a place.
Uh-huh. Now, was this the only store in the town?
Yes, it was. Uh-huh. It was. So.
Well, it sounds like your father must have been a rather important person in the community.
Yes, he was. He held offices in the election. He had took care of that, you know. And they did come to him for loans. And we had a banker. His name was Rommel. And he stayed in the bank as a treasurer. So.
What do you recall as a child, what the town was like in terms of the size, the other children, who your playmates were, that sort of thing?
We had the nine guards living next to us, and he worked at the depot. And they had two children. We were quite a few ourselves. We sort of played alone. The school, when we started the school, was just one room, and it was all ages up to the eighth grade, and the eighth graders were grown-ups. And they used to tease us little kids quite a bit. I remember it was about a year later, I think it was a year after I started, that they were building new toilets. And these big girls would sit in this toilet or stay in it at recess, and you'd have to go, they'd get you, and they'd say they were going to put you down there, you know. They were scaring me to death. And so I wouldn't go at recess, and I'd always get into trouble because I'd have to go right after.
Was the school only for the town children, or were the children from the farms come into the school too?
Oh, there were other districts. I mean, was about 2 miles around mostly. That was as far as you'd go. So there was little schools all over.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them would not walk more than 2 miles.
Do you recall, it'd be the place, I guess, that your parents rebuilt after the fire. Can you describe your housing, what it was like?
Yeah, it was sort of like a duplex with a long hall. And there was a big old-fashioned kitchen with the wood stove, and those cupboards that you sit in, they weren't built-ins, and the wood floors that we used to scrub and keep white. And there was two bedrooms and a living room. We used the living room for a bedroom, too.
What was your room? Where did you sleep?
At first I slept in the bedroom when there was four kids in one bed and two in the other. So anyway, then I and Burness were put in the front room. In the family, there were children that wet the bed. And I wasn't one of them, and Burness wasn't one of them, so we could sleep in the living room. We had an old stove. You know, these kind with the isinglass mm-hmm. on, the mm-hmm. old pot-belly mm-hmm. stove, and they were so pretty. And my dad would sit in there and read, but he hadn't come in from the store, and it was cold, and she and I were standing up there with our 90s up against the stove. And when we heard him come, we scampered for the bed, and I peeked out, and I could see him giggling to himself.
Do you recall when you were young, like right around the time you were just starting school, how the family would spend time with each other?
We always sat down at the table together. They were all in a big row. And going back a little bit, I had an experience when I sat in the high chair. I didn't like bacon. I didn't like anything greasy. So my mother asked me why I didn't eat the bacon. It was eggs and bacon. And I said, I don't want to get fat. And they all laughed, and I'm especially Dad and Mom. And so I was embarrassed, and I slid down under the table, and I wouldn't eat anything. Anyway, when we started school, you say, we used to have programs, school programs, every Christmas. And Thanksgiving, usually, at church programs, Easter church programs, and of course, Christmas programs. And both the church and the schools gave away, it was the town itself gave bags of candy and nuts to each child, which was quite a thing. And the church did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody had Christmas.
Mm. What role did religion play in your family as you were growing up?
It got so that we went most of the time, but then for a while in summertime, we worked hard and we wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. We'd just go on special days. And when we had shoes and things that we could dress up enough to go.
Well, you say when you had shoes and things, was there any economic problem in the family?
Well, there was at one time because the bank, there was some money taken by the treasurer and misused. And so my dad had to pay back. You have some money and you have to double that, put it back or something to pay off other debts or, you know, mm-hmm. for the money people have in there. They've got to have their money. So he lost in that case, but he took on debts. He took in horses and things like that. So there was a time there that we didn't have money,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have to wait for a crop or something to get shoes. We'd have to wait.
Now, this
for
is
the
when
money.
You were still living in town.
That was when we
store.
Went to the country.
Oh, that's when you went to the country. Now, when you were in town, though.
Well, we always had shoes because my dad had them in the store.
Uh-huh.
And he always had those things. But when you're going to lay out mm-hmm. cash for them, then you didn't.
Mm-hmm. You started to talk about the way that the family related to each other and would spend time with each other. You said you all ate together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall what it was like at the dinner table, for instance?
Well, everybody... But mostly we're hungry and eat fast. And, of course, Mom and Dad would discuss some things. The kids weren't really supposed to have too much to say. They didn't get a chance to take part unless they were asked some questions.
Mm-hmm. Was that, it sounds like there was a certain kind of strictness then in the family.
Well, it was the way everybody were raised in that time, mm-hmm. in that area, that you children were seen and not heard. We were heard, but not at mealtime.
Uh-huh. What kind of relationship did you have with each of your parents?
My dad was working so much that he just would smile or say hello once in a while. Or he seldom told the girls what to do. He'd tell the boys. Mom was supposed to tell us what to do. My mother didn't like me. And every time I'd get near her, she'd either yank my hair or pull my ear, take me by the ear. So I just learned to stay out of the way. And I can remember being on top. You know, we had big silos, and they'd get filled up, and there'd be about that much from the top. And I remember we were running around that area, and it's about 40 feet up, running around and around as fast as we could. My mother came out and yelled at us, "You get down here, I'm going to give you a good whipping." So I took my time to get down. Stayed out of the way. But I usually got it. I usually got a whipping before I went to bed.
For particular reasons?
There was always a reason. It seemed like I always did the things that didn't quite set with her.
Now, how about the other children? Did they also receive
whippings
regularly?
No, they didn't do things like I did, I guess. But everything that was done, my younger brother learned his first words was, "Ollie did it." So, but I would antagonize when I had a sister that would come to me and say, "You're going to get a whipping, you're going to get a whipping." So I had to be, I was upstairs, and I'd probably be hanging with on my legs with my head down over the banister. and I'd say, "Oh, well," I had to go without supper. I said, "I get a whipping anyway. It wouldn't matter what I did." Well, she'd run to Mom and tell her that. And, of course, I got a good one then.